It's our duty to pray for the people. Pray for the people over in the morning, a lot of times when they are asleep, asking God to protect them and forgive them. Kind of like the lads hollering as they go along here. They do that around tent meetings most everywhere you go. It's not unusual. It's not just a Louisiana thing. But just about everywhere you go, they do that. Youth is wild in the day that we're living in. Years ago, they had a great reverence and respect for God, and they didn't do that. They were taught not to do that. There was a great fear among the people. And because of that, God prolonged their lives, kept the youth out of prison, blessed them. They didn't become dope addicts. They didn't shorten their lives by their disobedience and having wrecks. Sicknesses, hospitals wasn't filled up. And mental institutions wasn't filled up, and prisons wasn't filled up. But now this is called the sinful, adulterous generation. It's not necessarily because people haven't been adulterous in the past. We're going to read a little bit about an adulterous man right here tonight. It isn't that they wasn't adulterous. It's just on a larger scale in the day we're living in. More people. Maybe 5 billion people in the world. We've got a charge to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that's your charge. No, that's our charge. See, to go be about our Father's business. But anyway, as I was saying, it isn't that there wasn't adulterous back then. But the difference is they didn't know. They had not been taught. They didn't understand. The Word of God wasn't throughout the country and the world like it is today. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him, it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And when your soul is dead, it doesn't matter if you live 100 years. If your soul is dead, from the minute that your soul dies, you are a candidate for the lake of fire. There's no way to change it. If your soul ever dies, that's the end of you, so far as eternal hope or eternal security or prolonged life. So, that's what I'm saying tonight, is that today they know better. And because they know better, then the wrath of God is upon them. And this is bad, folks. To whom much is given, the Bible tells us that much is required. And to that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. Says the servant that did not know to do his Lord's will, that committed things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. But in the day that we're living in, people know the will of God. And knowing the will of God, they shall be beaten with many stripes. Because knowing the will of God, they don't honor the will of God. Knowing the desire of God, they don't seek the way of the Lord. They still continue in their way of life and their contrary way of living and going contrary to the wonderful mind and things of God. Think upon it now. Even the youth of today is called a sinful and an adulterous generation. You say, why is that, Brother Pike? Because the men dress in tight, form-fitting clothes. They dress out in shorts. Women dress out in shorts. They dress with clothes that causes their body to protrude. And they lust after each other. As they walk up and down the street, they lust after each other. Magazines are filled with pictures, billboards, television, all of these things. The Bible speaks of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. People mincing with their feet as they go. Women that will take men with their eyes, the Bible said. So then it speaks of an adulterous generation. They marry one time. They marry two times. They marry three times. They're just continually marrying and marrying. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. They shall be eating and drinking, which is not abnormal. They've always eaten and drank. But eating and drinking in excess, going to the cafes everywhere, eating, plenty of food, plenty of places to eat, going eating all the time, eating and drinking, as it was in that day. And the Bible said they'll be marrying and given in marriage, continually marrying over and over. An adulterous generation. And he said the church would be a Laodicean church. That is, it would be lukewarm. It'd be very religious. 100 millions of people would be religious, but they won't have salvation. They'll be believers, but they won't have faith. And there'll be great sickness, great plagues, great problems, all kinds of things. See, the Bible said, and this shall be for the latter days. This shall be in the latter times. And this generation that we're living in, folks, it fits that to a T. They will be Laodicean, saying that we are rich. The denominational powers of today declare that they are rich. Houses and lands, money, prestige, tithing. They'll say, we are rich. God hath made us rich. And the Bible teaches that God will make you rich. The Bible said God's blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. But these people are not rich because God hath made them rich. And they say we are rich. And they say we have need of nothing. Everything that we want, we have it. It's given to us in our generation, in our church. He said, but they know not that they are wretched in the sight of God. And they are blind and don't see the holy way of God. That Lucifer, the prince of darkness, hath blinded their eyes that they should not see. And they don't know that they not only are blind and wretched, but the Bible said they are naked in the sight of God. As Adam and Eve was, when he found them in the garden, they were naked. They were naked. So then, it's a sad time, a very sad time. They don't have on the garment of God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So then we see the day that we're living in, and as I say, this is where the problem is. I'm grateful to be here tonight. I appreciate my audience last night. I came out. I felt a great surge of faith when I first come out. Don't feel that tonight, but I feel a good listening audience, a very reverent audience. And that's good. For the Bible said, when you come into the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of food. For faith cometh by hearing. But if you come in with your opinion and your discrepancies, then God calls that the sacrifice of food. See, be more ready to hear. Weigh. Try to understand. Listen. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And then the Bible said, take heed how that you hear. Lucifer being the prince of the powers of the air, he'll twist things up. Take heed how that you hear. And if you hear the right thing, then incorporate it in your lifestyle for Christ. Take heed how that you hear, so that you won't misconstrue things. You love the Lord? All right, reading from 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you've got your Bibles, in the 7th verse. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. He says, and thus saith the Lord. Nathan is saying to a great king, and thus saith the Lord. He said, I delivered thee out of the hands of the former king Saul. I delivered thee, David. And he says here, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. And he says, David, I gave you Israel. He said, I gave you Judah. He said, and I gave you your master's wives, if you'll read on down. He said, if this had not been enough, I would have given you such and such a things. He said, but why did you do the thing that you've done? Now, folks, think on that. I've given you everything in this generation. I've given you everything, David. I've given you everything that heart could wish for in this generation, folks, he could say. I've given it to you. If that had not been enough, I had something else in store, even heaven and eternity, and the gates of pearls and the streets of gold. But he said, I've given you everything that heart could wish for my blessing maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He said, but why did you do this? Why did you commit murder, David? Why did you take another man's wife? Talking about a sinful and adulterous generation. Why did you take another man's wife? Why did you commit murder? You know the story of Bathsheba? Was a time when kings were supposed to be out to battle, but David wasn't out to battle. You know, one of the problems of today is that a lot of ministers should be out to battle. They should be out preaching the gospel, and they should be out winning souls, and they should be out fighting the devil and freeing the people. But instead, they're staying around home, and they're looking for riches and the gullible desire of the flesh. And they're staying around home, and they're wanting to buy land and houses, and they're wanting to have riches, and they're wanting to be television artists, and they're wanting to be rich, desiring these things. And eventually, they get into the same condition that David got in, not having their mind on God, not being out to battle, not having a vision. The Bible said without a vision, a people will perish. So then they begin to perish. That is, they begin to look on their neighbor's wife, lust after their neighbor's wife, loan after their neighbor's wife. They begin to get dissatisfied. God said, when I fed you to the full, in America, He's fed you to the full. When I fed you to the full, He said, then I look and you neigh like a horse after your neighbor's wife. God said, will I not visit you for this thing, saith the Lord? Won't I visit you for this adultery? Won't I visit you for this generation coming into fornication the way that you do? Won't I visit you for this? Notice now, Nathan came to David. It had been about a year. David had committed this horrible crime. Here's Bathsheba laying out on the roof, sunning, as we say, out here in a place you had no business to be to start with. Look around you. Everywhere, women laying around nude. Not supposed to expose their body to anyone except their husband for the purpose of stimulation and multiplying and replenishing the earth and for the pleasure of their own home and for their children. But look at it everywhere. Nobody says anything against it as a rule. That's accepted in the world. That's part of the world. That's part of the activity. Nobody thinks anything's wrong with that. But a few years back, if a woman walked down the street and if she wasn't fully clothed, they would put her in prison. That was the thing of the day. The law would get her and put her in prison. Look at the newsstands. Look at the magazines. Look at the papers. It's bad. Real bad. But folks, God has suffered it. God has let it go. God hasn't done anything about it to the extent that He's given grace and given mercy. And God has been in hope that somebody would say something about it and that we would rise up as a people and we would unify and we would put that out from among us and we'd stop that kind of thing before the great wrath of God come upon the people. See, God expected us to do something about it. But folks, we failed Him. And it's multiplied. And it's grown. But God suffered it. He let it go. He said, David, I've suffered your mannerism. I've let you marry wives and marry wives and marry wives. David knew that wasn't right. But you married all kind of women. So far as the Israelites. You married lot of wives, David. I let it go. I didn't kill you. I didn't stop you. I didn't take your kingship away from you. And I let it go. He said, but David, he could have said it like this. That same spirit that you kept playing with, that same spirit has now led you to become a murderer. Now you are a killer, David. You murdered this man. You sent him up to the front line. You conceived this evil thing in your heart. And you and Joab conspired against me. And you sent him up to the front line and told Joab
to put him in the heat of the battle and then withdraw so that they could kill him, to try to cover up your adulterous doings. Remember, David called the man off of the battlefield, sent him home, hoping that he would go to his wife. And the adulterous thing that David had done, he was hoping that would be covered up by this man going home, being with his wife, and nobody would never know the difference. But God prepared this man's heart. The Bible says the preparation of man's heart is from God. He prepared this man's heart not to do that. And the man lay all night outside of the door. He wouldn't go home and refresh himself with his wife. David was all tore up. He knew something was wrong. He said, "Why didn't you go to your wife?" He said, "I'm not going to do that." He said, "My comrades are on the field fighting. I'm not going to refresh myself with my companion." And David began to get nervous and tore up. So then things began to happen. David knew that he had to do something. To save his kingship, he had to do something. If this thing got out, his name would be ruined. His kingdom would be lost. He didn't know what to do. So he conspired with Joab. And he told Joab what to do, to commit murder. And Joab was in on it. And if you remember later, Joab, David knowing that Joab was a murderer, David having paid for his sins, said, "Solomon, don't let his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. Kill him to make him pay for his wrong," because David had paid for his wrong by then. So then we find that this thing that David did, it must have been at least a year following before anyone found out about it. Here comes Nathan. Here comes the prophet. And he's standing before David. About a year had passed. He's standing before David and he said, "David," begin to speak in parables. He said, "David, that there was a certain man in a certain place, had great herds and great flocks, a rich man, David." He said, "Then there came a traveler by, stranger, and said, when the traveler came by, being hungry, this great man prepared him a meal. Said, but this great man that did it, David, did not take of his herds and of his great flocks, but said what he did, said there was another man that lived in this area, and said this man had one ewe lamb, and said this little lamb had laid in his bosom. Said, but this great wealthy man, David, said he didn't take of his flocks. Said he sent and took this one little lamb that this man had. Said he took this lamb and he slaughtered this lamb. He prepared the meal." David, being a just man in his heart in many ways, all of a sudden David got furious. Nathan said, "What do you think, David? You're the king, you're the judge. What do you think?" David said, "He'll restore it fourfold." And said, "Not only that, but he'll pay with his life." Nathan said, "David, thou art the man. Thou art the man, David. You're the one that's guilty." David stood there, no doubt shaking and trembling and tore all to pieces, knowing that God had marked David and God had made David's sins to find him out. Folks, let me tell you something. Be sure your sins is going to find you out. God's going to find you out. It doesn't matter who you are. You may be rich, you may be wealthy, you may be great. You may be a person of great stature and education, but God one day is going to search you out. Your sins are going to find you out. The Bible said, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." David was tore up. He looked at Nathan. He didn't know what to say. Perhaps a year had gone by. You say, what makes you think a year had gone by, Brother Pike? Because the baby had been born. The baby was alive. He had a baby. He had a little one there that Bathsheba had brought into the world. That means there had to be 9 months in past for this child to be there. Nathan looked at him and said, "David, God is going to be kind to you." Said, "He isn't going to take your life." I want you to listen, folks. Said, "He isn't going to take your life. Remember, the law said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And the king had to stand by that. And David had committed murder and David had killed a man. And the law said, David, because you killed him, then you must be killed. But God, through His goodness, said, David, I've spared your life and I put away your sins. Folks, He's been merciful to us many times. He's done things for us many times. He said, David, I put away your sins. I've spared your life. But listen, folks, when the law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that means somebody's got to pay for that wrong. The law cannot be altered. The Word of God cannot be changed. Someone has to pay for that sin. And so then Nathan said, David, God has put away your sins. God has spared your life. But he could have said it like this, David, the law must be fulfilled. Every jot, every tittle, there is not as of yet come that wonderful Lamb of God as to be the atonement for your sins. But David, we're going to use your lamb. We're going to take the baby out of your arm. You've got to have an atonement, David. I'll put away your sins and I'll spare your life. But to do it, I'm going to take the life of your little one. Someone has to die, David. And it's going to be the lamb that you've got. And he said, and the man held his little lamb, his little evil lamb, to his breast. He loved it, but you took it, David. Now then, the little thing that you hold to your breast, David, I'm going to take that. You're going to pay, just like he said. You're going to pay for that. And there has to be a death. Something has to happen. Something has to happen. You've got to pay for your wrongs. And so then David began to fast. He laid aside his food. He lost his appetite. He got all tore up. He began to beg God. He said, no, God. No, God, don't do that, God. No, don't do that. You know, this is the way it is, folks. We've got to consider others. We've got to be merciful to others. The Bible said if we don't have mercy, when God judges us, He will judge us without mercy. To him that shows no mercy, He said in the day of judgment, when I judge him, I will judge him without mercy. David said, no, God. He fasted, but God did it anyway. God did it anyway. You know, sometimes we get one-sided, folks. I've told this a number of times. I had a couple to come into my living room, sitting there counseling with them, talking with them. This man was telling me how much in love he was with this young lady. She was telling me how much in love she was with him, and said, preacher, we've come to counsel with you. Said, we've got a problem. I said, what is the problem? He said, well, he said, my wife, we don't get along that good. I said, you don't? He said, no. He said, and this young lady comes along and said, we get along real good. And said, we just feel like it's the will of God for me to leave my wife and marry this young lady. I said, is that right? He said, yes. And I said, and what about your wife, your family man? He said, we've got children, numbers of children. I said, is that right? He said, yes, that's right. I said, and you've fallen in love with this young lady? He said, yes, that's right. And she's fallen in love with you? She said, yes, that's right. I said, and y'all are going to just get married and you're going to put this woman away. Is that right? He said, that's right. He said, now don't you think that's a thing for me to do? I said, I think it's one of the most low-down things I've ever heard in my life. For you to marry that woman and take that woman's life and bring children into the world and walk off and leave those children just because the devil of lust gets a hold of you and a hold of her. I said, both of you need to go get down on your face before God and before that woman and beg her forgiveness and God's forgiveness before He sets your fields on fire. Folks, it didn't take long and they excused themselves and left. But before they did, she started bawling. She bawled and she bawled. And he was all upset. And this she said to me in many words, she said, my heart is broken. It's just tore me all to pieces. It's just more than I can bear. I said, lady, has it ever occurred to you that that man belongs to another woman and you broke her heart and she's in tears and you tore her home up? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. I had another couple to come to me. This man says, I feel I'm called into the ministry, Brother Pike. I said, you do? He said, I do. And he said, and I met this young lady. And he said, of course, I left my wife. Said, me and my wife, we didn't get along that well. And it was similar to the other case. And he said, I feel like I'm called into the ministry. And folks, it didn't take me long to explain to them what they needed to do. And you know what? To prove that it was a devil, it wasn't long before the same man who had fallen madly in love with this young lady had got tired of this young lady, and he had fallen madly in love with another young lady, which made his third young lady. See, the devil of lust is never satisfied. David got one wife and he wasn't satisfied. And that devil of lust kept driving him. He got another wife and he got another wife and he got another wife. And he had concubines because he was driven mad, almost mad with lust. And finally, the final analysis of the thing was that he got so carried away with lust he couldn't contain himself. And then when he saw another man's wife, he killed the man, committed murder, and took that woman away from him to satisfy the devil of lust, the travel of a stranger. The Bible said, a stranger my people won't follow. David didn't have the Holy Ghost. God could work with him a little different from this generation. He didn't have the knowledge that we've got today. The knowledge of God had not increased as it has today. Folks, you can walk the street and you can dress like a harlot if you want to. And you can say, I don't feel bad about this thing. You can get so bold that you can strip off your clothes and come into the house of God. The Bible speaks of the abomination that maketh desolate. God has let this generation go, an adulterous, sinful generation. God has let them go. But then they've gotten so bad that they come into the house of God that way. They walk right into the house of God. They've got no feeling. Somebody said, well, it doesn't bother me to slip off my clothes, Brother Pike. You know why it doesn't bother you? Because the Bible said you've seared your conscience with a hot iron and you've got past feeling and there's no feeling to you anymore. That's why it doesn't bother you. You can do anything. David got past feeling. He got to where he could commit murder and go on with it. A year had passed. The baby had been born. And God said, David, your sins are found out. Glory to God, you didn't have them hid, David. God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, rewarding every man according to his works. Folks, that little lamb had to be taken. That little baby had to be taken. It was taken out of David's arm, and David's heart was broken the same way the other heart was broken. The family. See, and I taught. I said, oh my God, when I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me, I said, oh my God, you was gracious, even taking that little lamb, you spared David. And I said, you was gracious, God, because if David had died, he'd have went to hell doing that. And you spared David, and you took a little innocent child that you could take on into glory. David said, I can't bring the child back. He said, but I can go to the child. I can go to the child. You know, and God said to me, said, son, remember another scene. And my mind went racing over to the New Testament. He said, do you remember the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery? I said, I remember. He said, as she was there, and I stood there, said, her accusers all around, looking at her, ready to stone her to death, and demanding an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, and I stood there, and I looked at her, in the midst of those scribes and Pharisees and those men. And then I said to them, I said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And the Bible said, one by one, their conscience convicted them. And they realized how wrong they were and how sinful they were and how guilty they were. And one by one, they turned and they walked off and they left the woman and nobody was left but Jesus and the woman. Jesus looked down at her and said, woman, where are those thine accusers? She said, no man hath condemned me, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. He said, go and sin no more. That's the worst thing come upon you. I'm freeing you. I'm letting you go. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You're condemned to die, but I'm going to let you go. But he could have said to her, he could have said, but woman, every jot and every tittle of the law must be fulfilled. And somebody's got to pay for your sins. But I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. When Abraham was on the mountain and Isaac was ready to die, something had to take his place. Something had to take his place. Is that knife come flashing down? Abraham would have killed that boy in his faith toward God, in his loyalty toward God. And the angel of God, flying swiftly, cried, "Abraham, Abraham, don't do that boy no harm." Said, "I know you fear God. I know you fear God." Abraham would have killed that boy. Somebody had to take his place. Why? Because the word of God said, "Go offer me a sacrifice." Abraham looked around. There was a lamb in the bramble, caught in the bramble. Jesus, with that crown of thorns, caught in the bramble, couldn't get away. Isaac said, "Father, here's the wood. We're on the mountain." Said, "But Father, where is the sacrifice?" Abraham said, "Don't worry, Isaac. God will provide himself a sacrifice." Well, that is to say, he's got one somewhere. And that one, if we want to say it like this, is himself. He'll come in a body himself. And he'll do it himself. And the Bible said God looked throughout the earth and he searched for a man. But he couldn't find one. And he said, "I'll go down and I'll do it by myself." Righteous, holy, godly, pure. There it was. Jesus said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" And she said, "Lord, I don't have any." And then there he stood. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, that does something to me. Hallelujah. There he stood. And he could have looked at her like this and he could have said, "Woman, I'm the man of sorrow. I'm acquainted with grief. I'm the man that must take your place. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. But the sin has to be paid for. Somebody has to pay for it. I'm going to let you go. But I can't go. I'm the man of sorrow. I'm looking toward Calvary. And I'm looking toward the nails. And they're going to plow my back like a field. I'm going through the suffering. I'm just a young man, but I'm going through the sufferings. I'm going through the heartaches. I'm going through the troubles. I'm going through the problems. I'm looking toward Calvary. I'm the man of sorrow. I'm beholding that cup that I'll ask that God let it pass from me, if it be his will. But I'm the man of sorrow. I'm the man acquainted with grief. I forgive your sins, Brother Pike. I forgive your sins, people of Louisiana. But I'm the man of sorrow. I'm the one that's acquainted with grief. I'm the one to be bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of your peace is going to be on my back, because your sins have to be paid for. I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins. I'll bleed and die for you. I'll suffer for you. And the Bible said he was bruised like no other man. His countenance was torn up, distorted like no other man. He suffered. And he said, "Folks of Louisiana, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins." But he said, "Listen to me. Listen to me. It has to be paid for. I forgive them. But the way I forgive them is I'll be hanging there. I've carved you in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you. Said a mother might forsake her suckling babe, but I won't forsake you. I'll never leave you. And I've carved you in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you." You know, in the modern science of today, they say Jesus wasn't nailed in the hands. They said they put him in the wrist. But the Bible said, "I've carved thee in the palms of my hands that I might not forget you." Hallelujah. And folks, he forgave your sins. He took them away. You're free from sin tonight. God took them away. And he told Brother Pike and the other ministers, he said, "Go tell them people of Louisiana that I have taken away their sins." Hallelujah, and you don't have to die. The lamb is taking your place. The little one is taking your place. And folks, all around you today, there's babies that's dying. There's little children that's dying. They're being twisted up with paralysis. The wound has been cursed of the fruit of the womb. And they're paying the price. But Jesus said, "I've taken your place. I've taken your place." But he said, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." Folks, let me tell you something tonight. if you have committed adultery, God will forgive you. If you've murdered somebody, God will forgive you. But let me tell you something. Though God will forgive you for adultery, God will forgive you for murder, God will not forgive an adulteress. God will not forgive a murderer. That is to say, He'll forgive you for murder. He'll forgive you for committing adultery. But when you are in a habitual practice of continuing to live in adultery, to go on in adultery, and to commit adultery over and over, God will forgive you for murder. But when you continue to murder, and you practice murder, and you become a habitual violator, God will not forgive you for that. Remember this? Remember this? Where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. Where there's no knowledge of sin, we've been ignorant, folks. We've got to admit that we've been ignorant. A lot of things we didn't know about the Bible. A lot of things we didn't know about God. A lot of things we didn't understand. We've stumbled into some things and we've gotten ourselves in a mess many times in our lives as people. And we didn't understand. Remember that. But I want you to know today, we understand. We know better all around the world. Everywhere I go, they know better than to do the things that they're doing. Everywhere I go, I find out folks, they know better. I go into the heathen countries and I think that they don't know, and I find out that they know better. See, they know better than to sin against God. They know better than to do what they're doing. For the Bible said, in the latter times, the knowledge of God shall fill the earth, shall fill the sea, shall fill the heavens. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pye? God, who is the Spirit, has created all things. He's created them as symbols, as types and shadows of heavenly things. And the day we're living in, the veil's coming off, and we're finding God everywhere in everything. And we're finding the way of God, the knowledge of God, and we know the things of God. And it's just everywhere around us. Glory to God, I feel Him just standing here on the platform. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel him standing here on the platform. I feel God moving right here. Let's give God a hand. Can you give God a hand? Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you think He's worthy of a hand tonight? Let's give Him a real hand tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand up together and give God a hand tonight, can we? Let's give Him another hand, folks. The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Lift up your hands to God. When you lift them hands up, God sees those lamp hands. Hallelujah. Because you're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and God sees it. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back up tonight. We kept you a little longer last night. I just wanted to speak to you just a little bit tonight in the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you, it's time to make a change, folks. It's time to make a change. Hallelujah. Don't you feel Jesus? The Bible said, where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Don't you feel your spirit in liberty tonight? Don't you feel your spirit free tonight? Don't you feel like from deep down in your soul tonight you can say hallelujah? Glory to God. Jesus loves you, folks. I said last night, faith worketh by love, and God loves you. Hallelujah. He loves you. Don't you feel His love? Don't you feel His love? Hallelujah. That Lamb took your place, folks. He took your place. He carved you in the palms of His hands. He hasn't forgotten you. Somebody says, oh my God, Brother Pike, I feel cut off. Don't you ever worry about that. He's got you carved in the palms of His hands. You're not cut off. Hallelujah. He remembers you. Every time He looked at those hands, He said, I remember you, children. I remember you. You're mine. I bought you. I purchased you. Hallelujah. With my own blood. In the book of Revelation, John said, and He hath washed us with His own blood. Washed us with His own blood. Can you imagine that? You know, folks, I've often thought about the woman that washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And she dried His feet with her hair. Well, as it has been said, it'd be a little problem now. Women don't have enough hair to do that anymore. Some of them don't. But you know what? You say, well, Brother Pike, don't you think that woman went up there to do that? No. No, I don't think she went up there to do that. I think she was so happy to know that her sins had been forgiven. She had carried that load so long and was under such a burden that when she realized that she was free, she couldn't constrain herself anymore. And she ran up to him as she fell down at his feet and began to kiss his feet. And as she did, she began to weep. And the tears began to flow. And there were so many tears that poured down her cheeks until there was enough water that it washed his feet. As the song said, and he bathed me with his tears. With his tears. And she cried so much as she bent over, kissing those feet, until her tears were so many, it completely washed his feet. And no doubt, being embarrassed, she thought, oh my, what am I going to do? And she pulled that long hair around because she didn't have a rag. And she thought, I've got to wipe them off. I've got to wipe those tears off. And so, when God recorded it, he recorded it that she washed his feet with tears and dried his feet with the hair of her head. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Have you ever tried washing his feet with tears? Have you ever tried to do that? Come on, folks. Have you ever tried to do that? You ever tried to wash his feet with tears? Just fall down at his feet. Some night. Maybe you don't feel too good. Maybe you feel kind of tired. But just fall down there in the early part of the night. And start praying. When you get tired, just keep on praying. I was praying one night. Been talking to the Lord for a number of nights. Trying to talk with him. And I got tired. And I got weary. Night after night went by. And I was weary. And while I was there, and I was thinking, I'm tired. And all of a sudden, I felt something come up behind me. And I felt something when somebody put their hands on my shoulder. And I heard a voice that said, I understand. Oh, my God. You understand. You know why he understood? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed for you and I. I remember being in Florida one time. I was there working on our ship in the daytime. And I was fasting. And then at night I would pray. And then I would go to my tent. And I was preaching a crusade there. And one night I was praying. And I was tired. It was over the morning. And all of a sudden, I went into a vision. I know this don't sound right. But I went into a vision. Remember, a woman bears your children because she's a type of the church. And we're the flesh. We're the feminine part. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. We're the feminine part. And there, while I was in travail praying, in the vision I birthed a child. A child came forth. I thought, oh my God, what is this? And I heard a voice, and it started singing. And it started singing like this. It said, on a hillside so lonely, knelt Jesus one day. And it's just, you know how the song goes? How that he agonized. And then it gets down to the chorus. And then it starts. It says, there's a new highway to glory. The one that Jesus trod. With a halo, we're traveling the highway of God. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. Lord, you've done something. Something has happened in my life and in others. You've given me a chance to help others. I said, oh my God. Lord, there's a new highway. There's the way that leads to home. There's something that's happening. God, you've travailed for us. You've brought forth this wonderful thing. And what I couldn't do, you done. Hallelujah, you done. Folks, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. There's a little Christ on the inside of you. Remember this. How do you remember Solomon? Solomon, the great man of wisdom. There was two harlots. These two harlots, they had children. In the dark hours of the night, one of these harlots smothered her little one to death. And a little one was smothered to death. In the morning, the mother that had smothered the child to death found herself with the other woman's child. Because during the dark hours of the night, she had slipped over that. And she had took this little one out of the mother's arms. And when the morning come, the mother was alarmed. Her baby was gone and she recognized her baby. And this woman said, "Nay, but it's not your child. It's my child." So they didn't know what to do. And they had a squabble over it. So they took him before the great King Solomon. Solomon stood there, mighty in wisdom, didn't know what to do, just listening at their disputes. Solomon said, "Bring me a sword." They went to get a sword. He said to two of the men, he said, "Take the child." He said, "Divide the child asunder. Give part of it to this mother and part to this mother." And all just immediately that mother that loved that child, the love of that child in that mother's heart to whom it belonged, said, no, don't do that. Said, "Let the other mother have the child. Don't do that." Solomon said, "Give this child to that mother. This is the mother. The love of that child is in her heart." The great wisdom of Solomon. You know how that Solomon was so wise in his day to become king of all the earth, to have peace. He was so wise that he married the different king's daughters and brought them into his kingdom so that the kings couldn't fight against him. And so that other kings would say to that king, "You can't fight Solomon, my daughter's over there." So he could rule over everybody. He was so wise. And there he stood. Divide the child. But the heart cried out, no, not that. Oh, folks, what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. Have you ever looked into heaven to see the painting that was made of that? One day I was standing in a vision. I was looking up into heaven, and the heaven was filled with beautiful things. And I looked back, and the whole earth was filled with people as far as I could see. And I said, "Oh, folks," I said, look at the beautiful things in heaven. It's so beautiful. I said, "Look at it." But folks, they didn't see it. They were looking at me. And I said, "Can't you see it? Can't you see it? I had another vision. I went into heaven, and he took me into a great art gallery. And I saw these beautiful things. I thought, oh my God, I've got to get one of these and take this back down yonder to earth." And I grabbed one of them, and I was fixing to go out, and I heard a voice say, "You can't do that. Put that painting back up. They can come up here and see it, but you can't take it out into the darkness down there. The law will get you." Gross darkness covering the people, intellectual reasoning. Give the child to the mother. Now listen. A beautiful picture of Calvary. A beautiful picture of Calvary. There it was. In this dark night, folks, we're travailing. All a bunch of harlots. For all have forgotten God. All have sinned against God. There's none good, no, not one. Every man's turned to his own way, done his own thing. All considered harlots. Even Israel, he said, "You played the harlot under every green tree." See, and here we are in travail. Be careful with that little child. Be careful with that little child. He comes forth and you've got him in your arms. He's just a little fella. He's just a little Christ. But he's your baby. Why did that woman want that little child? There was a reason. She didn't just steal a baby to have the baby. She would have been free of responsibility. She was a harlot anyway. But see, in that day, if you didn't have a child, you didn't have an inheritance. You didn't have an inheritance. Remember the woman in the Bible that committed harlotry with Judah, the daughter-in-law, because she didn't have an inheritance. He failed to give her a son. No inheritance without a child. Remember? Beautiful in Revelation. But here it is. This woman had to have that child. And she was willing to divide the child. At least each one of them would get part of an inheritance. But the mother said, "I'll give up mine. I'll give up mine." That's a beautiful picture. Look at it, folks. Today, the church world, what do? The denominational powers, the powers of evil out there, the great Roman powers, what do? Nail him to Calvary. Nail him to the cross. Nail him to the cross and said, we'll divide him. And down at the foot of the cross, they gambled over his garment. But they couldn't find any seams in that garment. Willing to divide. The world says you can have your little church on the hillside over here. We'll have our great cathedral, rich, have need of nothing. A name that we live, and yet we're dead, the Bible said, they that live in trespasses and sin. They're dead while they live. See, divide the child up. But you and I say no. 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 Hallelujah. No. Don't run off and leave me, folks. No. Somebody said, sure. Sure. You can take the Father. And I'll take the Son. And the other said, we'll take the Holy Ghost. Some said, you don't have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is believe. The other said, no. No, we won't do that. No, you just go ahead and take it. You go ahead and take it. And so God put the blood of Jesus over the world. And they took it. And today they have an inheritance. Today they have an inheritance by grace. By the blood of Jesus Christ. By the dividing asunder at Calvary. By the rent veil. By the rent veil. Rent and twain in two. And so they took it. But the little wife, the little mother, said no. 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 I won't do that. Not you taking the Father. And you taking the Son. And you taking the Holy Ghost. No. The true church said no. Said his name is Jesus. There's one God, one faith, one baptism. And we're going to have him whole. We want to live in God. But they said, we'll do it another way. Said, what way are you going to do it? Said, we'll do it this way. Aside from the Father. Aside from the Son. Aside from the Holy Ghost. Said, we'll split him up. We'll split him up. And the Bible said, when they finish with their theories and their ideologies and their theology, that all of a sudden out of the mouth come three unclean spirits like frogs. And they begin to work miracles. The blood on the seat of atonement. All you got to do is have somebody up here to preach. And you get to believe it and God will give a miracle. And the Bible said the ministers of the devil, the ministers of Satan, not the ministers of the word, transformed their minds by the renewing of their minds. The Bible said, be there. Ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. They get up here on the sacred stand and they renew their minds. They transformate in their minds. And they preach the words of light. And ministers of darkness become ministers of the word, which is light, by transforming their minds. But it said three unclean spirits like frogs went out into all the earth to gather together the rich, to get among the rich. The Bible said Jesus went to the common people and the common people heard him gladly. But they went to the rich. They're lifting themselves up to the rich. They've got to get to the rich. Money to support their cause. To gather them together to the battle, the great battle of God Almighty. Even the battle of Armageddon. So then the woman said, no. Either I'll have him as one. I won't have him at all. And I wish we had time to really go into the revelation of it tonight. Of what it really has to do with. But folks, let me tell you something. You hold on to that little one you got. We're passing through that dark night when the Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. And the Bible speaks of the hour of temptation that he'll keep you from because you loved him. That's coming upon the whole world to try him. Everything's coming to tempt you now, to try you now, to see who you are, to see what you are, to see what you'll do. Hold on to that little Jesus. You got him. As long as you got him, you got an inheritance. Don't lose him. Don't let that harlot slip over here. Don't let the great whore come over here and slip him out of your arms. Don't let her come over and get that little one. It's dark out there, folks. Gross darkness covering the people. Intellectual darkness coming over the people. The light of God beginning to withdraw. Hold on to that little one. He's your hope of glory. The Bible said in Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know why? Because the Bible said he alone was made heir to the glory of God. No one else. If you don't have him in there, you don't have any hope of that glory. Listen, this may sound strange, but in the days of Noah, there was 8 people that were saved in the flood. Isn't that right? The like figure went to baptism does also now save us. But remember when the great move of God came again, Sodom and Gomorrah was burned down. Just half that many were saved, folks. Just half that many. First there was 8. Then in the days of Lot, there was only 4, Sodom and Gomorrah. And just think now, we come on down a little farther. And there was another great move. And this time Israel went over the Jordan, come out of the wilderness. Remember? There was only just half that many that were saved. Just half that many. First there was 8. Then there was 4. And now all of a sudden we've only got 2. It's cut in halves. Cut in halves. Each time it's cut in half. And then we come again to Calvary. All of a sudden there's another great deluge. There's another great move. And folks, it was cut in half again. Only 1 that time. 8 to start with, then 4, then 2. And then it was 1. 1. And the Bible said, and the promise was not unto seeds as of many, but as unto seeds as of 1. And in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Jesus Christ alone, the hope of glory. The only one that found grace in the eyes of God in that last great move. And folks, unless you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you don't have any hope. Unless Christ is dwelling within you, the hope of glory, you don't have any hope. We've got to have him tonight. He alone dwells in that light, having immortality. No man has seen God at any time or can see him. And if you're bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh, if you're members of that great body, you're dwelling in that light tonight. For you're children of light, not children of darkness, that day should come upon you unaware. Hold on to that child. It's getting dark. Don't let the harlot take it. Don't let the harlot take it. She's coming around. She's going to say, don't mess with the name. Don't mess with the name. That harlot's coming. She's coming after that child. She's going to try to take that child that you've got. You're travailing. There's a child on the inside. The second man, the Lord from glory. I know you're standing. Forgive me. Just hold on for just a minute. Remember, the preacher stands the whole time. So then, don't let the harlot get your child. Don't let the harlot get your child. When that harlot comes around, say his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Can you say that tonight? His name is Jesus. Can you say his name is Jesus? Can you say it tonight? And the Bible said, and they that are called by my name, for there's salvation in none other name except the name of Jesus Christ, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, salvation shall be taught in his name, and that for the remission of sin. His name is Jesus. The harlot is coming. The great whore, the Bible said, that set upon many waters. That old intellectual mind. Listen for just a moment. You know what it'll do? It'll make you naked. It'll make you naked. I want to speak on this maybe tomorrow night. On the great whore and the serpent. Listen, I'm going to try to close with this right here. The Lord said, Adam, where art thou? He walked in the cool of the evening. Eve, Adam, where are you? And they said, Lord, we hid ourselves. And he said, what hast thou done? He said, Lord, we were naked. We were naked. The last generation coming up, folks. In the evening time, we were naked. He said, who told you that you was naked? Who put that thinking in your mind? Where did this degraded thing come from? They had been naked all the time. See, that couldn't have been it, folks. They didn't hide themselves because they were naked as not having natural clothes. They didn't have any natural clothes to start with. And they were not ashamed. How then was they all of a sudden naked? You know what it was? They'd lost the covering of His glory. I'd like to speak on that tomorrow night, if I can. They'd lost the covering of His glory. They were naked in their understanding. They got a base in their understanding. They'd got infiltrated. They'd got degraded in their minds. And they'd lost the covering of His great Shekinah glory, His righteousness, His virtue. And they felt ashamed. That's where they were naked. That's where the world is today. That's where the world is today. Won't be long, folks. The grace is going to be lifted. The blood's going to be taken off the seat of atonement. And you know what? This ain't going to sound good. But the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines. Somebody said, I'm sick, Brother Pike. I go to the doctor. I get a shot for my pain. I have a tooth pulled. I get a shot for my pain. Somebody says, and I praise the doctors. And I praise the medicine. But folks, if the medicine is what's healing you, and if the doctors is what's healing you, what is that thing that's going to happen all of a sudden when the Bible said, and there shall be no healing medicine? When the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, medicine won't heal anymore. Doctors won't heal anymore. And the Bible said the kingdom of the beast, they that are not born of God, that are not children of God, are beast. And the kingdom of the beast shall be filled with darkness, intellectual ignorance. And they won't be able to find any healing. And the Bible said they'll gnaw their tongues from pain, for pain. Balls upon their bodies. And they'll be in great terror. Great terror. Because there won't be any healing medicines. You know what it is? They won't even be able to die and get out of their pains. You know what it is? God is the healer. There's blood on the seat of atonement. And the masses of humanity, God works through man. Just like He did when He built that ark to save the people. See, God works through natural causes as far as He can reach. And He's give you medical healing. Medical healing. And medicine doeth good. Pouring the oil and wine, bind up the wound. But folks, remember, when God withdraws, there ain't no healing. It ain't medicine. It ain't doctors. It's all Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's get acquainted with it now. Hallelujah. Don't you feel God? You ever had divine deliverance? I had a sister to come into our apartment over that day. Here a while back, a stroke struck her. Got it around here. She's a nurse. Been a nurse. Valedictorian in her class. Outstanding nurse. Got it around like this. I prayed for her. I said, don't be afraid. It'll be okay. And sure enough, it started to change. But it still had her in this ugly way. I said, don't worry. I said, every bit of it's going to leave. And she come in today. She said, all of it's gone. She said, I'm a nurse. Said, that don't happen, folks. She said, I'm a nurse. Said, that don't happen. She said, God did that for me. Hallelujah. I know you ain't going to believe this. Too much in one night. But this beautiful young lady sitting right here. She had a stroke in her face years ago. Had a stroke. It done her the same way. It was pitiful when you looked at a beautiful face like that and saw it in such a horrible manner. But I prayed for it. And I heard a voice. And the voice said to me, said, when you pray, said, it's still going to be there. Said, but every time that you look at it, said, called it a lying vanity. It wasn't so in the beginning. And I did. And one day I looked at it. And another day I looked at it. And it went on for a number of days. I looked at it. And every time I looked at it, I said, you lying vanity, you ain't there. That face is still lovely and pretty. And one day it left. Hallelujah. It left. And tonight there's not one trace of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like a little boy that had a crooked eye, drawed around to his nose, turned into his nose. And I prayed for it. I told his daddy, I said, believe God. I said, God, straighten that eye out. I said, believe God. God, straighten that eye. I want you to listen to this, folks. God straightened that eye out. I prayed. One day he was walking along with the mother. And the mother, it tore her up when she looked down. And all of a sudden, she saw her little son. And his eye was straight. And she couldn't hardly contain herself. The boy's eye is still beautifully straight today. That's been years. Still beautifully straight today. Many things that we could talk about, could write a book about. And you know what? Years passed. And one day that dad, think now, that dad got up before some folks. He said, that preacher didn't pray the prayer of faith for my child. He said, I prayed the prayer of faith for him. So that's what straightened up his eyes. That's fine. I love him anyway. But you know what happened, folks? It wasn't but just a few days after that before they had another little child. And the other little child's eye was turned into his nose. Folks, it's been a number of years. The other boy's eyes are still turned into his nose. And the daddy couldn't pray the prayer of faith. But the one that we prayed for is still straight today. Can you say praise the Lord? God don't make mistakes, does he? God don't make mistakes. We had a boy in our last meeting. He may be here tonight, maybe not. I'm saying these things because I'd like to pray for the sick before this revival's over. Just lay hands on them. Let me tell you something. We had a boy, he lost his mind. He was in college, studying to be a doctor. He lost his mind, full-blooded Jew. His daddy's a scientist. They took him to mental institutions, had him before all kind of doctors. His daddy spent a lot of money. I know because his daddy come and talked to me. Spent a lot of money, but the boy was insane. He was eccentric. You can't imagine the things that he said and done. But one day I prayed for him. And when I say I prayed for him, others prayed too, just like you pray with me. And I prayed for him. And I told him, I said, I want to pray for you. I got a hold of him and prayed for him. Did you know that the boy's senses returned to him? His senses returned to him. A number of years ago it happened. Today he's sober. Today he's sane. Today he's married to a fine little wife. Today he's got a family. Today he works regular on a job. And you know what he said? He said what my daddy could not do. And he said what the psychiatrist could not do. What the mental institutions could not do. He said faith and God and prayer did it. And he gives the glory to God. Can you give God another hand? Many such like things that Jesus has done. And he's still doing it, folks. He's still doing it. God is still doing it. We mentioned some things last night that God done. From time to time we will mention things. I want you to sing with me. Can you do that? God is so good. Glad to have Brother John Lane here with us. From over in Holly Branch, Mississippi. And Brother Roy Hill from over in Holly Branch. These fellas just got in today. And I believe I see Don Kleinex back there. Brother Don Kleinex brought some printing in. I don't know where Stevie, our printer, come or not. Got a big press back home. A couple of presses. And our press man, I think he got here. Supposed to get here anyway. I think Brother Richard Gilds, a brother from California, his wife, daughters, they're here tonight, his children. They got here tonight. Can we sing a chorus together, Sister Dale? All right. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. Can you sing with me? For my rest it is complete while I sit at his feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it like this now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. The hill
far away stood an old rugged cross. It's the emblem of suffering and shame. Can you sing it with me? It was there on that cross Jesus suffered and he bled just to pardon and to sanctify me. And I'll cling to that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I'll cling to that old rugged cross. I'll exchange it someday for a crown. And I'll cling to that old rugged cross. Can you sing it with me, folks? Can you sing it with me? Till my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I'll cling to that old rugged cross. And I'll exchange it someday for a crown. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the Holy Spirit? I feel God here tonight. I feel God here. I feel the yoke broken. Come on, folks. I feel the yoke broken. All you got to do is step out. Ain't nothing binding no more. Ain't nothing holding no more. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. The yoke is broken. All you have to do is just step out. Hallelujah. Just step into the water. I was over in the Holy Land, and I saw a place. It was said an angel came down at a certain time and troubled the waters. And whoever stepped in was made whole. Step into the water tonight. Step into the water. Yeah, I like to read about John. In the book of Revelation it said, and John was in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit. Have you ever been in the Spirit? John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was on this earth, just like you're on this earth tonight, but he was in the Spirit. Do you feel in the Spirit tonight? Do you feel in the Spirit tonight? Can you feel the Spirit tonight? Can you feel the Spirit tonight? Have you ever been in the Spirit? Have you ever given God a chance? Have you ever turned your spirit over to that great God of Spirit? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in the Spirit? Come on, folks. Come on to the altar tonight, will you? Come on to the altar tonight. Come on to the altar tonight. Hallelujah. Let God know you love Him tonight. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Let's come to the altar tonight. Come on, folks. Come on tonight. Amen. That's the way to do it. That's the way to bring a blessing on your life. To let Jesus know that you're not ashamed of Him. That you love Him. He said, if you're ashamed of me before the sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you when you come before my Father. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed tonight. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. If you've never had an experience with God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Old rugged cross, I'll exchange it someday for a crown. Sing it with me now. And I'll cling to that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross. I'll exchange it someday. Hallelujah! I'll exchange it someday. Glory to God. Hold on to it, folks. I'll exchange it someday for a crown. Glory to God. I feel God tonight. I feel faith in this place tonight. I feel God moving tonight. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now the time to get your healing. While we're in the Spirit tonight,
And the Bible said as Peter spake to him, the Holy Ghost fell upon him. Folks, I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you tonight. I can feel it falling on me too. I can feel the Holy Ghost falling on you. And the Bible said, and while he spake to the people, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And I can feel the Holy Ghost falling on you tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say I love you, Jesus? Can you praise the Lord tonight? God is a spirit. God inhabits the hearts of his people and the praise of his people. Let's give God a hand tonight. Folks, can you give God a hand? Hallelujah. It's great to be in the state of Louisiana and see your people praising God, giving God glory tonight. Give him glory, all you people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the great kings and the great queens and all the magistrates of the world fall at his feet, anointing him the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the God of glory. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus together, Sister Dale. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonder. Tell me tonight, is God your God tonight? Is Jesus your God? Is Jesus your God? In the days of Elijah, they said, and the Lord, he is the God. And the Lord, he is the God. Is the Lord your God tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Can
lift it up a little bit.
Lift your hands up to him. And we'll give all that glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all that glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonder. Can you sing it one more time with me? Let's give the glory to Jesus tonight. Can we do that tonight? And will God clap your hands for Jesus? All the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all that glory to Jesus. And we'll sing hallelujah of his wonderful love. God bless Louisiana. God bless New Iberia. God move our spirit. God heal the sick. Deliver the people. Bring salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God, folks. You might not know it, but you being here tonight, you're bringing a blessing on your town. You're bringing the favoritism on your town. The rest of them might be ignorant. They might not know. They might not understand. But God's using you like he did Lot, Bonnie, and Sodom and Gomorrah. You're holding back the wrath of God because you're the salt of the earth. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. While we're praising God, we're going to sing this song. Hello, Brother Dole. See, Brother Dole's here from our big ship down in Vicksburg. Got a 136-foot ship that him and Chris stays with. Glad to have these folks here with us. Ain't you glad they're here? All right, if you love the Lord, we're going to sing this song. You ever had the old-time religion? You ever got the old-time religion? Would you like to have the old-time religion? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. For it's good enough for me. Sing it. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love
everybody, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you raise it up a little, Dale? Hallelujah. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father. And it's good enough for... Sing it with me, folks. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord bless you, brother.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good to turn around and tell somebody you love them. Shake hands with them tonight. Tell them you love them tonight. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. For it's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody.